Okay, hi everybody.
Hello everybody.
Good to see everyone. Okay, so one more parsha about the Mishkan. So we're going to talk about the Mishkan because that's what it's about. Okay. So we're going to do. Okay, so let's go. Okay, source number one. These are the last six psukim in all of Sefer Shmos. And they say the following. They put up the chatzer around the Mishkan and around the Mizbeach. Moshe finished up all the job. Basically, they put up the entire Mishkan. And what happened? Once the Mishkan was up, so what happens now? The cloud, what cloud?
The Anan.
Some type of cloud. I don't know, a cloud of sorts. The cloud. Anan, the cloud, right? Covered up the Ol Moed. And Chvod Hashem Maleas HaMishkan. The glory of God filled the Mishkan. What does that mean? I don't know. Well, good. Rest. Silence, because we don't know.
Right.
The Shechina rest. Yeah, what would that look like? I don't know. You can imagine what it looked like, but we don't, I don't know. Okay. Yes, right. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly. Something like that, probably. V'loyachol Moshe lavo al moe. Moshe could not go in. Ki shachan alav ha'anan. Because the Anan was hanging out on top of there. Uchvod Hashem. Maleas HaMishkan, and the glory of the whatever of Hashem was filling the Mishkan. Okay. Obehalos Hanan me'ala Mishkan Yisu b'nei Yisro b'chom asim. And whenever the Anan would lift off the Mishkan, what would the Jewish people do? They would travel, all of their travels. V'im lo yale Hanan, but if the Anan would not rise up, I guess it would stay where it was, v'lo Yisu ad yom ha'alos, then they wouldn't leave until it was had gone up. So right there was like their way of knowing whether to go or not go was whether the Anan was hanging out there or not. Ki Anan Hashem ala Mishkan yomam ve'ish tia lalabo, because the Anan was on the Mishkan during the day, and now, surprise, at night there was fire there. That's new, right? Or maybe it's not new, I don't know. And there was fire there at night. Le'nei kol beit Yisrael b'chom ma'aseihem, right? In front of all the Jewish people with all of their travels. Chazak, chazak, done, finished. Done. Anybody confused? Anything they don't like or just confused that you have a trouble understanding? I don't know if I understood any of it.
I don't understand the Moshe thing. Like, why couldn't he go in?
Good, okay, good. So that's a good question. Why can't Moshe go in? I thought this whole thing was made so that Moshe would go in. So why can he not go in? What's that about? Good.
Like the below
yahoo,
like he wasn't able. It's giving me the impression like he's trying, but he can't, as opposed to like he's not allowed.
Right.
Canon
May, the teachers use to
stress the difference.
Ah, Canon May. Canon May. Like,
I just read
it. You know that teacher? Can I go to the bathroom? Right, okay, yeah.
I read it as physically not able. Not
physically not able? Like, was he not allowed? Good. Okay, yeah, what else?
Remind me the Ohel Moed. Is that considered the Kodesh Kodesh?
Presumably this is the Mishkan, is Ohel Moed.
Ohel Moed and Mishkan mean the same thing.
That's a good question, but let's assume that for now. Let's assume that's the same place.
The Ohel Moed is part of the Mishkan. The Mishkan beside had other features beside just the
It's the inside part, probably, yeah. Okay, yeah, probably. Good.
And also it's implying, like, is this always the case? When it says that the Anan did this,
yeah.
Like, when did it do this?
What does it sound like when it did? Only, when does it sound like?
Like, only when they weren't moving.
Only when they were camping.
So then that would mean that he can never go travel.
Could he never go in? Right, good, good. So it's only when it's camp, good. And that, let's take it even further. At first it tells me that the Anan is only there when they're camped. But when they're traveling, it's not there. And then what's it say at the way end? The last person, Ki Anan Hashem al Mishkan Yomam Be'ish Tiyah Laila Bo, L'nei Kol Beit Yisrael, B'chom Asehem. The Anan was always there in all of their travels. I thought you just told me the Anan was there only when it wasn't traveling. Now it's there when it travels also.
There, just not in
I thought what
right.
was hovering above
like then
it's on top,
them
yeah. to protect them and drop
them. I'm just saying, it just says, Ki Anan Hashem al HaMishkan, Yomam, Ve'ish Yelalabo, Le'ekol Be'isha. I think you have a pretty good answer, Jenny, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if you want to be a stickler, it is, right? It just said, it's only there when they travel. It's only there when they're not traveling. Then when they travel, it goes away. It goes up, and now it tells me that's always there. Yeah, okay, good. Anything else?
I guess what's the fire?
Yeah, what's the fire? what's with the fire? Right? So where did we see fire before?
With the snack.
With the snack, good. Where else do we see fire?
Har Sinai.
Where else do we see fire?
But
maybe
the Amud Anan and Amud HaEsh.
Yeah. So at some point in the beginning, we're told there's like this like pillar of, pillar of cloud, and then at night there's a pillar of fire. Does that only when we're traveling so we can see? Is that right? There's a little confusion. Right. What is that exactly? When I was a kid, there was a book in my dad's study called Pillar of Fire. It's like this old history book. I don't know. I don't have no idea what it is. But I always think of it.
It was the combination of fire and...
There was fire in the Malkos also, yeah? Yeah? So what's the fire doing here? Okay, good. Yeah, so it's not... So, we're kind of... Yeah?
Coin.
What coin?
The Malkos Hashaka.
Yes, it was in fire.
Yeah.
Hashem shows him through fire. Yes, it's fire. Yeah, so there's fire in a lot of places. The question is, what's the fire doing here? Good. So we asked a lot of questions. We want to know why can't Moshe go in. We want to know what's with the fire. We want to know what's with the cloud. I thought the cloud's only there when we're not traveling, but now it's here all the time. I'll throw out one other question that we'll come back to. We're now find ourselves, by the time they actually put the Mishkan up, it's going to be almost Pesach time, right? It's going to be Nisan. Right, we're going to have to see the Nisim, etc. That's going to be all bring for the like the dedication of the Mishkan. It's going to be around Pesach time, right? Around Nisan, and that's only a few months before they're supposed to head into Eretz Yisrael. And this whole 40 years in the desert thing is not supposed to happen. Right, we're supposed to go right in. So, like, let me ask you another question: this Mishkan, which is transportable and can move and travel, etc., it's kind. I don't know. Like, couldn't we just wait it a few months? It's about to go in. That's a good question, right?
Yeah.
Right? We just spent a lot of time on this, right? We're like, that was a lot of time on this, and we're going to build a Beis HaMikdash. We get to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we don't know yet that we're going to wait a lot, many years before building a Beis HaMikdash also. But like, why the portable version, right? You get like the mini version of games sometimes and the big version, right? Like, the mini version is nice if I'm going to need it, but if I don't need it, so why do it at all?
I mean, the conquering phase might take a while.
Okay, conquering phase might take a while. Good, yeah.
Maybe we do need it. We need something to look at as Hashem.
Okay, so maybe like we just need it there. I mean, you're right. It was so important. Chet Egel, et cetera. We needed it there. Yeah. Good. Okay, fine. So let's take a look and try to get some answers to some of our questions. We'll see what we find on the way. Okay. Says the Sforno on source number 2. Ubehalos ha'anan, says the Sforno. The Sforno is talking about that the cloud would go up, the cloud would go down. What's going on here? V'kochach hayta shriyat ha'shchina keva ba'mishkan. So the shchina, right, would always be there. Keva, it was always set in place in the Mishkan. Shloi haya mistale klal misham. Ad shahayu Yisrael tzrichin linsoa. It would always stay there until it was time for the Jewish people to move. Which, by the way, what would they do when it was time to move? To the Mishkan. They took it apart.
Yeah.
Right, so remember that. All right. So like on the one, you're like, wait a minute, but what about when we're moving? We need it there too. Yeah, but then the Mishkan was taken apart. So it could, there couldn't be the Shmuel saying, yeah, right. So it was Hashem was always there. They'd always notice that Hashem's with them, except for traveling, which didn't happen so often, actually. There's only so many times they traveled in the 40 years that they're in the desert. They spent most of their time not traveling, right? So like, so it was always there except for those moments. Fine. But check this out. Vizelo haya b'shilo. V'lo b'bayis rishon. V'lo b'bayis sheni. What wasn't in Shiloh? Shiloh is where the Mishkan ends up sitting in Eretz Yisrael before we build the Beis HaMikdash. So they didn't have it in Shiloh. They didn't have it in the Beis HaMikdash. One or two. What didn't they have?
Da'ana.
The cloud wasn't there in Shiloh. Fascinating. And it wasn't in the Bayis Rishon. You didn't have a cloud in the first or second Beis HaMikdash. There is a story like that. That when they first build the Beis HaMikdash, they're not able to open the doors. Similar to Moshe, like not being able to go in. But there's no cloud that hangs out on top of the Beis HaMikdash all the time, and no cloud that hangs out, you know, and even when the Mishkan was kind of made more permanent in Shiloh, no cloud there either. But there will be in the Bayis Shlishi. Ka'amro vani eheyeh la ne'um Hashem chomat eish saviv. That the Pasuk in Zechariah says, basically Hashem said, I'm going to be there with a a wall of fire, and presumably the fire is right exchanged with the cloud always. The fire and the cloud, they go together. So kvod eyeh betocha, my kavod. That's the language that we saw before. Kvod Hashem maleis hamishkan. So there's going to be this sort of fire and cloud in the Bayis Shlishi. It wasn't in the first Beis Hamikdash, wasn't in the second Beis Hamikdash, wasn't even in Shiloh with the Mishkan, and it's gonna, but it's going to be there in the future. Fine, doesn't really help us answer awesome. Questions. It really awesome. Brings us more questions, but it's cool. Mm-hmm. Never heard that before? I never saw that before until I saw this forno. Right, it's very cool. Very cool idea. Fine. It's cool, but we don't know what to do with it yet. So we're going to have to see what, maybe we have to figure out what to do with it. How does he know that? Because the Pasuk says in Zechariah. If you know all of the Tanakh, then you know things like this, you know? Those of us who don't know all of Tanakh, those of us don't know all of Tanakh, so we don't always know these things. That's people, you know, Chidona Tanakh people, I guess they know. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't know either, because I don't know Zechariah by heart. But yeah, let's go. So that's another interesting point. Fine, good, next. Rabbeinu Mechaya, source number 3. Vayechas hananes o hamoed. This is another cool thing that he says here. By the time you get to the way in the Parshas Pekudei, people are done with the Mishkan. I was almost done with the Mishkan. I almost didn't talk. I was almost going to talk about something else today. But I said, you know, I couldn't, like, I didn't want to do the shortcut and just like bail on the end. But no one's reading. By the time you get to the end of Pekudei, people are not reading these things. That's why you haven't heard some Mishkan before. So fine. So
excuse me, the source of Rabbeinu Bechaya.
Yeah.
Is
who is he?
Yes.
He's one of the Rishonim. I don't know exactly where he lived, but he lives like 12, 13, 1400s. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's you know, Rabbeinu Bechaya is.
Respectable.
Yeah, respect. Yeah. 13, 1400s. Rishon. No, it's good thing you asked. Thank you. He's one of the Rishonim. So Rabbeinu Bechaya writes the files. King Siv Bahar Sinai, Vayachas Hen on Sahar, right? This idea of the cloud we saw at Har Sinai, that there was a cloud there too. Vaya Oamoed Michusa Mikol Tsar Be'anan. And the Oamoed also was. Just like Har Sinai was covered in a cloud, so too the Mishkan was covered in a cloud. There's a lot of parallelism actually between Har Sinai and the Mishkan. A lot of some Mefarshim talk about the idea that the Mishkan becomes like an extension of the Har Sinai experience, continues with us. The same way there was a cloud there, there's a cloud here as well. V'amar u'chvor Hashem aleyes haMishkan, right? And he says that the, you know, the presence of Hashem filled the Mishkan. Ki tocha Mishkan halei malei k'vor Hashem, because inside the Mishkan was totally full up of Hashem's presence, whatever that means. It's impossible. Remember, it's sort of impossible. Hashem could do whatever he wants, but Hashem is not physical. Hashem isn't confined to a space. So the whole idea of a space being filled with Hashem is a very, you don't really know what that means. Right. It doesn't really make sense, right? Hashem is, the whole world is filled with Hashem, sort of. Like, it's confusing. What does that mean even, right? Ki ha-kavod shochein betoch ha'anan. So just by the way, one thing that the Rabbeinu Bechaya explains a little bit, we were talking about a cloud and the Kvod Hashem, and the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, yeah, of course, it's the same thing. Right? The Kvod Hashem is the Anan. We have this also, by the way, even by the time when Avram Yitzchak are walking to Har Moriah to do the Akedah. So the Medrash says that they looked merachok, right? And the Medrash says they saw Anan Kashur Bahar. And they saw a cloud there. Same thing. But they can see, they're always seeing clouds. Whenever you see Hashem, quote, see Hashem, it's always in a cloud.
But that's not what the pshat of the pasuk says.
What do you mean?
Lamed Aleph. It says, Vayechas ha'anan et ohel moed, uchvod Hashem malei et hamishkan. So you're thinking, Hashem's kavod is in the mishkan,
and the cloud is around.
Yes.
Okay. So Ben Mechai wants to say, it's the thing you can see is the cloud,
right,
but it's representative but it's of Hashem's kavod, whatever that means. Okay. Yomar ki v'pnei shachan alav ha'anan al kein lo haya yachol Moshe lavo al omed. Ah, and now we can understand why can't Moshe go in? Because God is in there, of course, whatever that means, right?
But he's always with God.
So what, there's this hyper concentrated aspect of God's presence that's in the Mishkan, and that's why Moshe can't go. He can't go in the same place where God is. That's not possible.
But Aaron could go into the Kodesh HaKodesh.
Okay. Good. I didn't really mean to have the answer. I'm just trying. Okay. So let's keep going. Fine. Klomar, right? Yomar, ki mipnei sheshachan alav ha'anan, al kein lo yayachal Moshe lavo la'omoid. Klomar, below kriya. Ah. It means you can't go in at all. It means you can't go in unless what?
You're called in.
Right. Fascinating. Kriya. Check this out. Ready? Avah b'kriya harehu rasha'i levo sham. If Hashem calls him in, he's allowed. Velosha kriya Moshe, Moshe, Tielo, Tiuli, Kanes, Beod, Shakavod, Sham, El Shatielo, Oat, Shakvar, Nishtalem, Shefa, Or Hakavod, Mina, Mishkan, Zulati, Mina, Kuvim. I don't know what this means. But it means not that Moshe can go in while Hashem's in there, but that Hashem has like pulled himself back to only where the Kruvim are on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So like Hashem basically calls him in, not saying like come be with me there, but like I'm pulling myself back and I'm making space for you. In the Hasidic thought in Kabbalah is referred to as tzimtzum, mm-hmm. And that Hashem contracts himself, whatever in the world that means, mm-hmm. Right? To make space for the world and make space because the whole the universe, whatever, was all God, and God has to contract himself to allow space for the human being. But just keep going for one second. The point is that he's letting him know that he's not in there. Okay? Then Moshe could go in. And we see the same thing. Hashem calls Moshe, right, from the mountain to come in. He goes in. And that's why, what's the very next thing that we're told in the Torah? Vayikra el Moshe. Cool, huh? The next sefer begins Vayikra al Moshe. Why does Hashem have to call Moshe? When does Hashem ever call Moshe? Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Why Vayikra al Moshe? Because we just finished building the Mishkan. Hashem is
fully
in
present.
The Mishkan, whatever that means. And he now wants to tell Moshe, you're allowed in. Yeah. And therefore he calls him to say, you're allowed.
Vayikra
Moshe
b'samoch. It's a small aleph. It starts with a small aleph.
Yes, small aleph. That's Moshe's humility. That's next week. But yes. But the point being that I never saw a pshat like the connection between the end of Sefer Sefer Shmos to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra al Moshe ki akol ha-davak u-michubar. It's all connected. Alpha bisha svarim nifradim hakol kesher achad. Even though it's separate, they're really all one. Ish bach, whatever. But of course, the pasuk Eov. But the point being, that's how this all works. Because I didn't really explain anything to you, right? But it does a little bit, right? That this like this whole idea of Hashem's, we built this house, this place, right? We're told v'asulim mikdash v'shachati b'socham. The moment it's finished, you see that presence of Hashem, and now it's filled up. Moshe can't go in, so Hashem says v'yikra Moshe, and now Moshe can go in.
And Bnei Israel can't go in either?
Not yet. So well, only Kohanim are going to go into the Kodesh, right, for the most part. But in the Kodesh, only Aaron. But let's just dial back for one second. Think about what's happening here. Right, again, if we take this back to where we are in the history of Klal Yisrael and Hashem, it's a very special moment. Right? Klal Yisrael, and the, well, actually, you know what? Yeah, that's just really fresh because it's actually a perfect segue. I didn't realize that. I made a good segue. What?
Question.
Yeah.
Because this made me, as we were reading, I thought it was going in this one direction and mm-hmm. then it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it possible also that up to date, when we look at like all the parsha we've read so far, Moshe has the most dialogue with Hashem.
Yes.
And like Hashem is constantly with him, but speaking with him always. So maybe when it came to building the Mishkan, it's a matter of, I talk to you so much, but I don't want... Like, and obviously Moshe was so humble, but maybe it's like, remember that there is a difference.
You can't just come in whenever you like.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, there has to be a special time when I'm coming to you and, you know, we're really close, but there still needs to be a line of respect. Kind of like when you get too close to someone and maybe you can sometimes be disrespectful. So it's mm-hmm. like preventing that from happening.
Yes.
Keeping them a little bit at a distance.
Yes. Yes. Some explain also that Moshe Rabbeinu actually, after all that had happened, he steps back to stand with the people. God fills the Mishkan and Moshe with everybody else. A certain sense of like, it's not just me and God and everybody else, but even God's like, dude, like, back. He didn't say dude. He's a, you know, Moshe. Back up. And like the sense of like the, oh, Moshe with all the people. Sorry. 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 I was in high school one time. okay, take a look at refresh. Okay. I love Monday. Says it first the following. Oh my gosh. Here, scripture concludes, for now, the history of the work of the Mishkan with the report that the purpose was achieved. Okay, this is what I was getting at. God's glory filled the dwelling place. In the process, scripture skips over the account of the initiation ceremonies of the Imei Miluim to which it refers in Vayikra, chapter 8. That's going to come later. In the first chapter of Vayikra, scripture discusses the offering procedures performed on the sanctuary to enable the people to sanctify itself through their exalted symbolism. With the acceptance of God's Torah in Israel's midst as Israel's mission and supreme aim for all time, and with the establishment of God's glory in the home that Israel prepared for this Torah, the book of Shemos, the book of the redemption from Egypt, comes to an end. This was the goal that God himself had declared as the object of his work of redemption. Votseti, v'yitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. Right, these are the four pieces of the four Lashonos of Geula. Right, the founding of the sanctuary of the Torah, the placement of the Torah in its dwelling place in the Ark, Israel's devotion upon the altar of this Torah, these made the people of God. And how do we become v'lakachti lach etzchem li'la'am? How do you become my people? By doing something. It doesn't just happen. It wasn't that we were chosen by God and even showed up at Har Sinai. Right? We then had to do something. We had to build a Mishkan, a place to house the Aron and the Luchos, and the place where we're going to do things for God. And it's not just enough that God's going to do for us, but now we have to start doing for him. And by the time that we finished building the Mishkan, we have now accomplished V'lakachti Eschem Lila'am. For the cloud of God was upon the dwelling place by day, and there was fire inside it by night before the eyes of the entire house of Israel throughout their journeys. Thus was it shown to the entire house of Israel, to young and old alike, that God's providence and the blessing of his Torah are not matters of belief, mercifully invented as consolation for this earthly life, but of knowledge, of unshakable conviction based on the certainty of actual experience. By building a Mishkan and then seeing Hashem fill it, whatever that means, they provided this like clarity for the people. It's pretty cool, right? Like it's an amazing thing. We don't have that ever, right? We don't ever get that sense of clarity in that way, right? But they got it, right? Inside the dwelling place of the Torah, the table, the menorah, the altar, and the kruvim, tapestries proclaim where God's Torah is taken up with the freshness of eternal thriving and with the firmness and tenacity of pure gold, where material and spiritual welfare comes only through the Torah and is dedicated solely to the fulfillment of the Torah. There the kruvim of God's providence descend, visibly and invisibly, bringing protection and blessing. I mean, there are things that they're going to see with their own eyes. Right? This is not belief, but knowledge. As God said, V'yadatem ken Yashem lokeichem, ha-motziyeschem eretz Mitzrayim. From the experience, you will learn that when I took you to be my people, it was not just then once that I led you out from under the burdens of Egypt. Rather, I will always be to you a God who is close at hand, who similarly guides you, protects you, and bestows upon you his blessing. Right? The point was that this whole thing was the culmination, really, of the entire experience. Which, by the way, if it wasn't, then it doesn't belong in this sefer. Right? Why does it belong in this sefer? Because it's actually the culmination of the geula. Right, the Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula, a Galus of HaGeula. Right, and it ends with the building of the Mishkan. The Mishkan could have very easily been placed in Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra is all about the Avodah. Right, just put it there. Stop after Har Sinai and be finished. Right, why put all of this in this Sefer? You could have, for us it's so obvious. It didn't have to be that way. And the point is that we're not done with the Geulas Mitzrayim until we build a Mishkan. Right? Because now we see that Hashem is not just with us when we leave Egypt, he's with us wherever we're going to go, which, by the way, has at least one answer to our original question, which was, what do we need it for? Right? What do we need it for? This traveling sanctuary. And the answer is?
So that he may dwell among us.
And so that we're going to realize that he's always there. Right? Because we have this, because we don't know. They haven't seen God ever. And they see God for this 10 months of like crazy miracles. And then what? Where did he go? Right, they get, who is this God? Is he stick with us? He doesn't stick with us. He shows up once every 240 years. God, I don't know. Like, who's God? They don't know. They don't have that experience. So by now having built the Mishkan, a place where he's gonna literally stay there all the time, you're gonna look up every morning and see the Anan over the Mishkan. It gives you that sense of clarity that he's really with you. So you'd say, what about us? So why don't we get that?
I'm just gonna say it's like not sour grapes.
Yeah, it's not
like,
fair.
You know, we so what's also
good. So what's the answer?
Destroyed. Why? Because we rely on the fact that he was physically present and they witnessed
okay.
it.
Okay.
We're in a new exile. We're not at that. And that's why it'll come back at the third Beit
HaMikdash. Maybe.
That
okay.
Hashem is not with us until the third Beit HaMikdash.
No, it's just that we're still in the exile process.
Yeah, but he started off with the exile process showing them
yeah.
fire it's and brimstone.
Correct.
And
that was all a miraculous
time. We don't do that anymore. That's not like that's not what this
is. So is there a possible answer that maybe we could answer, and we're going to see more answers. But is it possible to say that there was something unique about this first generation?
Yeah, 100%.
Right? They don't have a Masorah. I mean, they have a Masorah of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? That's so many years, so many hundreds of years before, right? And from Yaakov and the Shvatim through until they leave Mitzrayim, they have very little of a Torah. They have these stories. They have very little, right? Now they're beginning, they're like the first generation that's really going to understand, have to learn what it means to live a life with that Kadosh Baruch Hu, which, by the way, is the reason why, probably, I think I've told me this before once, that they're going to make so many mistakes, right? And we get upset, it's not their fault, et cetera, right? But the point being, I did this.
Yeah.
But I didn't do this. I just motioned. Right, but it isn't, and almost like maybe it isn't even that, meaning I'm not saying it's not their fault, but that they go through this whole process where they need a constant reminder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time because they're not used to it. They don't have Bubbies and Zadies who tell them about how Hashem protected us. Da, 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 da. They don't have the stories. They have, again, old stories that happened hundreds and hundreds of years, you know, many, many generations before them, but not... You know, right. parent to child in the same way.
And they're also personal stories, not national.
Not national. They don't have a nation.
Like,
they are starting the nation, right? So I wonder. I'm not saying that like the answer, but you wonder if the need for this constant presence of Hashem in a way that is so saturated and so present, so much more than we could ever imagine, right, is almost more necessary for them as they're learning, right? It's like national learning. That's going on before we can then have other experiences later where maybe we don't need it, we don't deserve it, but we can still hang on without it. Whereas them, without it, you saw what happened when they lose Moshe Rabbeinu for 5 hours, right? They're already done. The ikla is off. Right? They can't manage it. Right? They don't know what to do when God goes away because it's too inconsistent, that relationship. Yeah.
When Hashem is at the Mishkan, he's not really away. He's still with them.
When he's with them, yeah. But that's the point. Meaning, that's why there becomes this need to have this constant presence of Hashem all the time. I one time compared this to there's like attachment. I was not thinking about this until now. Okay, so one time I said what I thought was a chiddush about attachment theory. Mm-hmm. Did I share this to you guys once? Yeah, maybe I don't know. Attachment theory. I said it once in shul. That's for sure. That there's this right. There's secure attachment. That Mary Ainsworth did these studies on attachment theory, and one of the things she would do. I had no intention of bringing this up today, but okay, it's fine. That they would bring little children into a room and the parent would leave, right? And they would see what would happen and then the parent would come back. So children who were securely attached would cry a little when the mom would leave, but then they'd eventually go and start to play. And then when the mom would come back, they'd be excited and come run over. Because the hypothesis is securely attached children, they know that their mom's coming, they know their dad's coming back. It's not a sub, they're not worried while they're not there. They don't even know that they know, but they if you leave me, it makes me sad, but okay, but I know someone's coming back for me, right? As opposed to a child who some children would go in and they'd cry and then the parent would leave and they wouldn't stop crying and the parent would come back and they'd hit the parent when they would come back, right? Because they were there's all different types of non-secure attachment, but basically a sense of I don't really have that confidence that my mom's gonna come back. Right, I don't feel that sense. I'm not securely attached. And there's actually a whole theory of attachment related to relationships also, by the way. Mm-hmm. We talk about Shana Rishona sometimes, like the idea of attachment theory in relationships. Same thing. Do I feel that I know my spouse is there for me, etc.? But the point being, if Klal Yisrael are brand new here, they don't have a secure attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was never there. And then he just showed up. And then he goes away again. And when he goes away, they're like, holy cow, what happened? Right? And they do the Ikla Zav because they don't know what to do. And then he comes back and he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to stay. Right? But maybe it needs to teach them that they are really attached. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. Right? But that takes time to build nationally. Right? And maybe that's part of what's happening here also in this idea. Fine. Good, but we have more things to talk about. So let's keep going. didn't get to the main point yet.
We did it?
No. Okay, so hold on. We gotta go.
I'm concerned there's not enough.
I know, right? What can I say? I'll just show you. I have to, because we're Sirotskin, source number 5. There was not a Mitzvah. He writes as follows. Ish tihye alai labo. Why is there a fire there? And why does it say tihye in the future? Tihye lashon atid. Einu muvenes. I don't understand. Im lo shenemar, shidibor zeh nemar labnei yisrael bayom. Maybe they told Klal Yisrael during the day. And like, okay, don't worry. In the night, it'll be there, right? In the future. V'hivticham shebalala tihye bo ish. That's a simple pshat. Aval efshar limtso b'lashon zeh Gam Remes, I'll give you, right? Mm-hmm. So Zalman Sratzkam gives us a beautiful hint, symbolism. Shebalayla, bizman hagalos, aleinu lichiyot be'amuna she'esh tiyabo. We have to know that the fire will be there. Shebizman hagu'ula ha'achrona, yori lanu Hashem min ha'shamayim mikdash banui u'mishuchlal she'esh. Hashem is going to drop a beis hamikdash of fire. V'cheinem arvani ayela lanu'um Hashem chomas esh. Same pasuk, by the way. Pasuk in Zechariah that Rabbeinu Bachai quoted, right? That I'm going to come back with that fire. So Hashem's promising the fire will come back. Fine. Beautiful. Very nice. Next idea. Ksav HaKabbalah, source number 6. The Ksav HaKabbalah, Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, also, he lived like in the middle to late 1800s, I believe. And he writes the following very interesting point also. Leinei, so he notes the following. The end, the very last words of the Sefer, that Hashem now has this Anan that's always there in the fire. Also, Le'inei Kol Beit Yisrael. What else would it have been? Well, it's to the eyes of the Jewish people. Of course it's not the Jews. They're going to see it. If it's there, they're going to see it. So he says something amazing. Even though there was a cloud that was always passing in front of them, Lo Haya Ela L'Sha'ato Ad Hayam. That was only until they got to the Yamsuf. Okay? V'gam lo haya le'nei kol Yisrael, rach lifnei ha'nevi'im shebehem. And even at the Yamsuf, everyone didn't see it. Only people were on a certain level. Never heard this idea. Ma she'en kei mitfilas Moshe ve'elach, she'it palel, in Parshas Kitisa, v'niflinu ani v'amcha. Right, we need to all be a pele. It's something, a wonder. We want to all be able to see it. V'shivlo, hu yit barach neged kol amcha e'sen niflo. So Hashem responds, you're right. In front of the whole nation, I'll do nifla'ot. V'zeh le'nei kol Yisrael, v'al zeh anachnu mitzapim ki ayin ba'ayin yiru. That we will hope for the same thing. But what he's saying is that what was the new thing that happened? Why was such a deal about the Anan? The answer is, they didn't all see the Anan before. This was the first time that all of Am Yisrael saw it. So again, the power of that experience, of seeing that, you think, what do you mean? They were traveling at the beginning. There was always that big pillar of cloud. The answer is, that's not true. Moshe saw it, Aaron saw it, Yoshua, whatever. The people who were the Nevi'im at the time saw it, Miriam. But not everybody saw that. And when it came time now, I don't know if anyone agrees with this, but it's fascinating. Looks like he's quoting this from the Gra.
He said that they were all Nevi'im. We were all Nevi'im at Har Sinai and at Kriyat Yamsov.
Yeah, but not at other times. At Yamsov, you're right.
But here he's saying...
At Yamsov, but otherwise, not. Meaning, otherwise, you saw it there, but otherwise you didn't see it.
Like a month ago.
Yeah, okay, but it wasn't like they had this constant Anan there all the time. This was a new phenomenon for them. Le'nei kol beit Yisrael, that it was the first time that all of Am Yisrael saw the Anan over the Mishkan. That was a new phenomenon for them. Something they had not seen before. Cool. All right, interesting. Fine. Man. Okay, we got to see the Shrav. Source number 7. We weren't supposed to do secure attachment. Okay, it's fine.
This is the best part.
I know, sorry. Okay, the best things happen in here with you guys. It's just like things happen on their own. Take a look at Rav Schwab. Rav Shimon Schwab was the rabbi of Kahal Adas Yeshur and the Breuer's community in Washington Heights. So, he was a survivor of the Holocaust. So, he writes the following. We ask, why can't he go in? Right, right. Why couldn't he go in? So he says, the Gemara and Yuma says, Rabbi Lazar Rami Ksiv, Moshe can't go in because there's a cloud there. Uksiv, Moshe. What do you mean? We have other psukim that tell us that Moshe went in to the cloud. There were times when Hashem literally grabbed Moshe and brought him in. Right? The baby Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Afkan Shvil. So they say that there was some pathway. Shasalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shvil B'toch Ananim. Hashem made a path. V'alach Ka'adam Ha'olech B'toch Shvil. That they made, Hashem made a path he could walk inside that Anan. That's the Anan at Har Sinai. Okay? Ulavin man lama nasesh lo shvil rak balato hahara matan Torah v'lo ba'ei kinisat al the Mishkan. Right, so why was there a pathway in the cloud at Har Sinai, but now we don't find a pathway? Hashem just like kind of backs up and he gets, I don't know, whatever. What is it exactly? Ulai, maybe Yesh Lomar. Maybe give it the following answer. Shemeseches Ksubis Darish Bar Kapara. In Meseches Ksubis Daf Hey, Bar Kapara says a drasha. Gedolim Maasei Tzadikim. Yoser mi ma'ase shemayim va'aretz, right? The ilu b'ma'ase shemayim va'aretz k'siv, meaning that the things that human beings do are greater than that which Hashem creates. Because when it comes to shemayim va'aretz, it says in Yeshayahu, af yedei yadai yasta aretz v'imini tafcha shemayim, that Hashem made the world, right? Yad achas l'kol echad nehem, Hashem used one hand for everything. V'ilu b'ma'ase yedei yam shal tzadikim k'siv, machon d'shivtecha pa'alta Hashem miktash Hashem konenu yadecha. Shtei yadayim. Okay, that when it comes to the, when Hashem makes, it's one hand, and when the people make, it's two hands. So I would think, it's because we are, it's harder for us, we need two hands, but okay. Harei shema'aseh ha-tzadikim goreim shi'aseh ha-kadosh baruch hu b'shtei yadayim. When human beings make something, Hashem grabs it with two hands. V'chein yesh lomar, sh'ashras ha-shechina she'b'mishkan ha'yiseh gedola me'ashras ha-shechina she'b'matan Torah. What was the greater sense of Hashem's coming down into the world? Har Sinai or the Mishkan?
Mishkan.
So he argues it was the Mishkan. Why?
Because we made it with our hands.
Because we didn't make it. Because we made it ourselves. Sharei Matan Torah asat Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. Matan Torah Hashem did himself. Aval haMishkan asu b'nei Yisrael. V'hu b'b'chinas gedolam ma'isa yadeim shal tzadikim. We did it ourselves. V'lachein af agav shebe'anan shal Har Sinai haya yachom Moshe la'aloch b'tochel kema'alech b'toch shvil. V'komokam ha'anan shal haMishkan lo yachom Moshe la'avo b'tochel. That Moshe could go in. The Anan on Har Sinai, Moshe could go in a pathway, go inside that Anan. But the Anan that was in the Mishkan was a much more powerful and a much more concentrated sense of Hashem's Shechina resting in the world because we made it ourselves. So at that point, Hashem's like, sorry, you can't come in. So Hashem has to back up, whatever that means, so Moshe can come in. It's a very beautiful idea. Right? Then at the end of the day, the reason Hashem has us build it, which is part of this, right? Has us build it, again, is not for him, it's for us, right? And that power of the building of the Mishkan creates greater Kedusha even than our own Kedusha. Why can't Moshe go in? Maybe to reflect that same thing. What do I mean? I thought he could go in up there. Yeah, but down here, guys, where you built it, now it's too holy. And now it's too big. Now it's too much. Like it's too
very,
concentrated.
It's a really strong message for the people.
Yes.
That like, because you
look what you did.
Even holier.
Look what you did.
I don't even have that direct access exactly. to that anymore.
Exactly. Look what you made. Look what we made all together, right? He steps back. Same idea. He steps back, and Hashem's like, "Look, guys, sorry, you did too good a job, right? I'm really here now, right?"
That's why the second luchot are also better. First luchot was
right because we make them
right.
Excellent. So I just want to show you one last idea for the last 3 minutes. Rashi on that line, we said right. We said there was a Anan. Only when they, you know, when they were camping, and then when they would travel, it would go away. And then it says that Anan was there, b'chol ma'aseihem, was always there. So Rashi says, "Lainei kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem, b'chol ma'aseh shayinosim haya Anan shochem b'makom asher yachanu sham." So he says, "By what does that mean?" Simple pshat is, it was every time they would travel, the Anan would hang out right where they were going. The Anan would still like be there. It's still like go to the place where they're going to trap, where they're going to camp. Makom chaniyatan. Af hu karui masa, because the place where they would camp is also called a journey. What does that mean? And even when they'd stop along the way, that was still part of
the journey.
B'chol ma'aseihem, meaning it includes stops and starts. Mm-hmm. Right? B'chol ma'aseihem, even when they stopped, that's still ma'aseihem. Right? Exactly. Rabbi Sachs says a beautiful, beautiful pshat. He basically says, what was the goal of the Mishkan?
The
The goal is the journey. Mm-hmm. That we're always traveling. So as he closes this story, and he quotes a beautiful, you know, that the gods in the times of the Torah were always gods of a certain place, right? That even Paro says, like, who is this Hashem? Well, I should listen to him. And Rashbam says, because he didn't get it. Paro's like, what do you mean? I'm the God here. There's not room for another God. There's only God. Gods are in certain places. We have gods here already. This Hashem can't be here. This is our spot for our gods. And Moshe's response is like, no, you don't get it. God doesn't have to be in this place. Right? God can go anywhere. Right? And the sort of the goal of the Beis HaMikdash, the goal of the Mishkan, really, more even, was a sense that God can go anywhere, which was a big chiddush for them then. Right? And I think, by the way, it's still a chiddush for us, right? A reminder that Hashem could go with us wherever we go. It doesn't matter. He tells an amazing story in this article where he was bolded. I don't know if you can tell where it's bolded. Flip the page, bottom over there. He writes the following. That scene was repeated time and again during the years 1948 to 51 when one after another of the Jewish communities in Arab lands, the Maghreb, Iraq, Yemen, said goodbye to homes they had lived in for centuries and left for Israel. In 1990, the Dalai Lama, who had lived in exile from Tibet since 1951, invited a group of Jewish scholars to visit him in North India. Realizing that he and his followers might have to spend many years before they were allowed back, he had pondered the question, how does a way of life sustain itself far from home? He realized that one group above all others had faced and solved that problem, the Jews. So he turned to them for advice. So he doesn't tell us what they told him.
They make it sucks.
But what? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like yeah, exactly. The answer is like you have to be Jewish. No, but the point being that this idea that Rashi says that even the chaniya is called a masa. Right? You never arrive. You never arrive. Right? We never arrive. Nationally, we will eventually arrive, Mashiach. But as a Jew, you never arrive. You never arrive. You just keep going. Right? And perhaps. As a drush, that's one of the answers to the reason for the need for the Mishkan. Yes, we're going to have a time for Beis HaMikdash, but the Mishkan was that precursor, that initial message to Klal Yisrael that yes, I'm here, I'm not going to go away, right? Yes, in the future there'll be fire that will come back and we'll be okay. But while we're wandering, right? We all feel like we're wandering. Hashem is with you. Right? The Anan is there. Right? Even if we don't notice it, we don't see it. A Jew is never alone. A Jew always journeys. A Jew has never arrived. We're always striving for more and looking for more growth. And the next thing that we can do, that's how life is. But in the end of the day, recognizing that even when we go, right, on our journeys all the time, right, Hashem is with them, v'chol ma'aseihem, wherever you travel. So I think in the end of the day, you know, again, these last psukim of Pekudei, which I think are oftentimes not taken a look at, actually provide maybe some of the most meaningful messages of this entire whole section, that the conclusion of Geula, right, of Geulas Mitzrayim, doesn't end with leaving Egypt, it doesn't end with Har Sinai, it ends with us recognizing L'kachti L'shem L'la'am, that we have finally been taken by Hashem to be his people. How? By ourselves building a place for him. A place for him that isn't permanent, but a place for him to follow, you know, follow along with us wherever we go. Okay.